Well, a few weeks ago, I believe it was April the 11th, our pastor and his wife were on vacation, so he asked me if I would preach, and I said I would love to. And I shared a message on our spiritual authority, or spiritual authority. And really, it was a two-part message, and I tried to put it all into one, but that's impossible to do. And so I'm going to share the second part of that. Is that okay? Can I have another amen? All right. So we're going to cover some wonderful things. Listen, God has well prepared us for life. He's given us all the promises we'll ever need to be successful in life, to have peace and joy and happiness. And I still believe with all my heart that God's people ought to be the happiest people in all the world. And I mean that sincerely. And a lot of it has to do with us, because God's already given us everything that we need to be happy. We just need to make the choice that we're going to do it. So today we're going to come against Satan really hard. Is that okay? Because I know he's doing a lot of things in the world that certainly affect our lives. And so we're going to come against him with vengeance. Amen? And we know how to do that because we know how Jesus did it. And if we'll just follow the steps of Jesus, we'll find that you and I can live a victorious life. And that may be hard for some Christians to understand, but you can do it. Let me share with you, first of all, in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 27. Now, I'm going to reference the scriptures before and the scriptures after, but it says, neither give place to the devil. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to us. He's telling us, don't give place to the enemy. So that's a decision that we've got to make. Now, if you look at this in its context, if you go to verse 25, it says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He says, be ye angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And then he said, don't give any place to the devil. But then he follows up and he says, let him that steals steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let not corrupt communication. Can I read that again? And we say, well, corrupt communication. It doesn't mean you're off here cussing all the time. It's just the words that you say that can bring death to your life, to your walk with God. Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Then he follows up with this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. Okay, now are you getting the picture on this? When he said don't give place to the devil, there's a decision that you and I have to make not to do that. Listen, God has given us a will where we can stand against the enemy and we can use the Word of God to live the kind of life God wants us to live. You know, a long time ago, I took the incentive to learn who I was in Christ, what I have in Christ, and what I can do in Christ. If you don't know that, then you'll never know who you are in Christ. You'll never know what you can do in Christ. You'll never know what you have in Christ. Listen, this book is full of all kinds of wonderful nuggets that if we'll read this book and meditate on it and study it to show ourselves approved, you're going to find that your life is going to be a whole lot different than maybe it is right now. Listen, God's Word still works. Good place to say amen. Now here's James 4:7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. So there's an action on your part. You're going to have to resist the devil and say to him, no more devil. He said, resist the devil that comes against you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. And I'm telling you, when we resist him, we're coming against him rather than allowing him to come against us. And then John 10:10. This is a scripture that I love, because I love the second part of it. The first part says, the thief cometh. Who's the thief? Satan is the thief. He cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus has come. This is the part I like. He's come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Now, I like the abundant part, don't you? That we can have life and we can have it more abundant. Listen, there's too many Christians today that have been deceived by the enemy in believing that now that we're saved and born again, we're going to have to live a life of doubt and grief and defeat and misery and unhappiness. I got news for you. Jesus didn't die so we could live that way. He died so we could be victorious in all that we do. He said, I've made you more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves you. I will not bow to the deception of Satan. Now listen to me. Satan has done what he's done because we've led him. That is to our life. Matter of fact, I can say he's done to America what he's done because Christians have been silent. We haven't done our part. Satan has no power over our lives unless we give it to him. I thought of something this, you know, there's times I holler at him. he can hear me whenever I whisper, but I'll holler at him. And the reason why I say that, because I remember we had a dog that everywhere I would go, that dog would follow me. And I would say to him, I don't even remember his name, but I would say to him, now listen, go on back home. And you know what he'd do? I'd take off, he'd start following me again. But I'd get aggravated enough that I'd stomp my foot and say, I told you to get home. And guess what? He ran home. I think there's times that we need to get mad at the devil. I want you to know today I'm mad at the devil. I mean, you may not be mad enough at him, but I'm telling you I'm mad at the devil as far as what's happening in this world. I mean, it's come to a place that bad is good and good is bad. I mean, just watch what's happening in the world. Satan is behind all of this. He's the great enemy that we have. But I believe that God's revealing to the body of Christ who Jesus Christ wants to be to each and every one of us. But we know that Satan's going to use all the deception that he can in order to make us believe that the life we're living, a mundane life without peace, without joy. Oh, listen, whenever I mention any of these things, Scripture just begins to come to me because the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. That's something you've got to do. Is the peace of God really ruling in your heart today? Do you have peace in the midst of turmoil? You know, we're covering the book of Daniel in my Sunday school class, and we're looking at what Daniel went through, the three Hebrew children went through. You've never been through all of that. And for you to think, oh, just poor little old me. Devil come against me, and now I'm all discouraged and whatever. You have power over the enemy. Say that with me. I have power over the enemy. And guess who's given you that power? Jesus Christ has. Our pastor has made very clear in the 2 years that he's been pastoring here, he's made it very clear to each and every one of us that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. And the Holy Spirit is there for the purpose to lead, guide, direct us, and even convict us at times, but to turn us in the right direction. We just simply need to listen to the Holy Spirit. It's time that the body of Christ gets back to a place that we are building a relationship with God, the kind of relationship that we need. And Pastor, I've loved every message you've said, and I know very few messages that you haven't covered that. I go home and I think, man, it's all about relationship. Listen to that. It's all about relationship. You don't start building a relationship with God when you get in trouble as a Christian. No, you from the time you become a Christian, you begin to build that relationship. But the thought came to me, and I mentioned this Wednesday night in my sermon. How can you trust someone that you don't know? How can you have faith in someone that you don't trust? People say, I'm just going to trust God. They don't even know God. And then when it doesn't happen, they want to blame God. How can you trust someone that you don't have faith in? How can you trust someone that you don't really know? That's the reason why. How are you going to get to know God? I've never seen God in person. And if you have, that's a wonderful thing, but I haven't. But I can tell you this, he's very much alive. And I can tell you this also, His Word will tell us everything that we need to know to build the kind of relationship that we need with Him. God wants us to have a healthy relationship. When we get up in the morning, it shouldn't be all the griping and complaining as I read there in Ephesians. It shouldn't be griping and complaining the day's going to be bad and whatever. Why don't you get up and say what God would want you to say? Speak the Word over your life. Oh, listen, I love the Word. I can't emphasize that enough. I love this book called the Bible. It's inspired. He said, study to show yourselves approved unto God. I believe that's 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed. Doing what? Rightly dividing the Word of God. Listen, the devil works on deception. And if he can deceive you and make you believe that God doesn't love you, he'll do it. Let me show you the intent of our enemy, the devil. Some of you have got it all wrong as who your enemy is. Turn to your spouse and say, you're not my enemy. Well, I've had some of you to tell me that. She's just my enemy. She's getting on to me about everything. Here's Satan's intent. Now listen to this. I'm going to give them to you just real quick here. Number one, he captures your attention. Now, he does this many different ways. What is it that Satan uses the most to capture your attention? I mean, what is it? It could be money, it could be work, it could be insecurity, it could be time management, it could be procrastination, it could be sports, it could be activities. See, there's nothing wrong with sports and activities, but when they've got us, it's kind of like the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not, but when money has you, it is. Amen? And so when all these things, when the devil uses that to draw you away from church, I mentioned Wednesday night, you wasn't here, so you haven't heard it, most of you, unless you watched it on live stream. But I had a family come to me and they said, listen, we bought a boat. How many have a boat? You wouldn't raise your hand. Not a one of you would raise your hand. It's not a loaded question. They said, we just bought a boat and we want you to come over and pray over it because we're going to dedicate it to God. Now listen, I was very open with them and sincere. I said, now listen, are you going to use this boat on Sundays rather than, oh no, we'll go down on Friday, spend the night, and Saturday we're going to use this boat to get to know people and take them, you know, out fishing in it and all of this so we can witness to them. So I prayed over the boat, but I never saw them or the boat again in church. That boat had them instead of them having the boat. And another story, if I mentioned who the family was, most of you would know them. But this family, or the gentleman told me, he said, I just bought a brand new boat. And I said, oh, that's great. He said, listen, me and my friend, we're going to go out. I knew both of them very well, grew up with one of them. And he said, we're going to go out on the lake this weekend. I said, well, wait a minute. Are you going to be gone Saturday and Sunday? He said, yeah, just for this weekend. I said, your boat's going to sink. And sure enough, on Saturday they got in the boat, drove out to the middle of Thunderbird Lake, and the thing sunk to the bottom. Brand new boat. Everything. And guess what? They showed up on Sunday. And every time I see him, he reminds me of that. He said, man, I'll never forget that. He said, we had to get a diver to dive and validate the fact the boat sunk so I could get the insurance on it because it was a brand new boat and all the tackle and all the stuff that was in there and whatever. Listen, when things have you, then God doesn't have you. So what is Satan's intent? It's to capture your attention. Now, here's the interesting thing. He attacks us when we're most vulnerable. When are people most vulnerable? Well, it could be whenever you're discouraged. It could be when you're sick. Maybe someone hurt your feelings. You lost a loved one. You have financial problems. Maybe you lost your job. Those are the most vulnerable times that we have in our life. And don't tell me that it doesn't discourage you because it has the potential to do that. But the devil has you under surveillance in case you don't know. And he's waiting for that prime time that you're in that state of mind and thinking so he can come to you and attack your vulnerability. That's why we've got to be ready at all times. Here's the next one. I'm watching the clock. Here's the next one. To create doubt. Do you know that doubt is unbelief? I said doubt is unbelief. Satan's strategy is to get you to doubt God and to doubt God's word. Now listen, we've all been there. There was a time way back after I was saved, I doubted God's word. I didn't know God's word like I know today. Because I didn't know God like I know today. I didn't have the relationship with Him like I have today. But there was a time that I doubted God. I mean, it seems like He did it for everyone else, but He wouldn't do it for me. Now why? Because I didn't have a relationship with God. And not only that, I doubted God. I thought, well, if He does it, great. If He doesn't, well then, must be God doesn't want to do it for me. But then when I begin to read the Word of God and find out the promises of God, and I begin to read that, hey, God says He'll supply my every need according to His riches and glory. He said, I'd have it that you'd prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I begin to realize in this growing relationship who I was in Jesus Christ, and a lot of the stuff I put up with, I didn't have to put up with anymore. Amen? Listen, when God created us, He created us a free moral agent. And we have power to think. We have power to make the decisions. We have power to make the right decisions. And that's what God wants us to do. Make right decisions. The only power Satan has over me is the power that I give him. Because listen, God's already taken from him his power. When Jesus went down to the bowels of the earth, he took the keys of death and hell, and he came out as the victorious almighty God of all the ages. And guess who he gave that authority to? Spiritual authority has been given to us. What I can't do, now listen, God holds us responsible to do what we can do, but what we can't do, God will do for us. Sounds good, doesn't it? And I've reminded God of that. Now God, listen, I've done everything that I know to do, but I know when I've done all that I've done, I know you'll do for me what I can't do. And that brings us to the next one. You got to be prepared and you've got to stay prepared. The enemy is always prepared. Have you noticed that? He's persistent. Preparation is a must. For those of you that play in sports, you don't just walk out on the field one day and say, listen, I think I'm going to play football and we're going to beat everyone. Well, I got news for you. You're not going to beat anybody. But often we're not prepared when the enemy comes against us simply because we haven't spent the proper time with God and in God's Word building the kind of relationship. You know, you don't wait till everything breaks loose on you and say, you know, I need to go prepare myself. No, that's why I said study to show yourselves approved. A workman needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly divide. How can you rightly divide the Word of God when you don't know the Word of God? Listen, I know I pound you hard on getting to know the Word of God, but that's the answer to your problem. Amen? The Word of God has the answer to your problem. We're not the Bethel beggars. Amen? No, we're going to rise up and be the army that God wants us to be. Amen? And we can be that army. We've got to be prepared. And many Christians, they lose the battle simply because of lack of preparation. So we've got to be constantly in tune with God, alert to prayer. Matter of fact, 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant. Now we know what sober is. It means we're in control of our faculties and whatever. Be sober, be vigilant, because the devil, your adversary, now listen to this, he goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't know who he can devour until he comes at you in your vulnerability or because of what you've said. Your words make it easy for Satan to come against you and defeat you. Because you get up in the morning and say, this is going to be a terrible day. Well, listen, the devil will make sure it's a bad day. Amen? And everyone around you, if you're in a bad mood, you're going to find out, I mean, it's going to affect them too. The words we speak affect us tremendously. And listen, we tell the devil how we feel every day and what's going on in our life and all the negative and whatever. He doesn't have to guess where your vulnerability is. He can easily see it by the words of your mouth. How many believe death and life are still the power of the tongue and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof? Amen. Listen, if I say something that's kind of out of character, my wife gets on to me. She said, why in the world did you say that? I didn't mean it. Doesn't make any difference. The devil heard you when you say things. You got to be careful what you say. Be prepared at all times. That is the answer. You've got to be prepared. All right, so here's the fourth thing. Don't ever debate the devil. I don't know how to say it any better than that. Don't ever debate the devil. You're no match for the devil by yourself. You understand what I'm saying? You're no match for him. Don't ever debate Satan. All you do when he comes against you is what? You use the word of God. You come against him. Don't debate Satan. Instead, say it's written. So when the devil comes against you, don't say, listen, devil. I had people say, I told the devil to leave me alone. I didn't mean beans to the devil. Amen? He's not going to leave you alone. But if you said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get your hands off of me, my family, my money, my whatever, you get your hands off of it because it is written. It is written. My God shall supply my every. Whenever you take the word of God, you begin to speak what is written. That's how Jesus defeated the devil. He didn't say to the devil, well, why are you doing all this? Why are you telling me to turn these rocks into bread? I'm hungry. I've fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, although I don't believe he is hungry. How many's ever fasted a period of time? I can tell you, I know maybe you don't ever fast. We eat fast. But we don't fast. If you'll fast for 3 days, you'll lose the hunger that's there. 3 days. Now, I want all of you to try that this week and come back Sunday and tell me the difference. All right? I can see you're all real excited about it. Whenever you mention fasting, and I know Pastor and I both, we've mentioned fasting, everyone's head goes down. So, well, I'm going to fast one meal a day, but that's out of five that we have. Five different meals, you know, and all the snacks and whatever. No, I'm telling you, you begin to speak what is written, and you'll see the devil leave the scene. This is how we defeat the devil. Here's the next one. It's to deceive us. 2 Corinthians 2:11, I love this. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we're not ignorant. We shouldn't be ignorant of all of his devices. Listen, if he used something on you one time, you ought to be smart enough to recognize it the second time and not allow him to come in and destroy your life or discourage you or take from you that which God has meant for you to have. We as believers should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. And you can read about them all in the Bible. Every religion. It amazes me how that people can get mixed up in certain religions when the Bible is very clear about it's a godless religion. And then you try to explain to them that what they're doing and what they're believing is completely contrary to the Word of God. And yet again, they won't accept it. It's godless. That's the world that we live in. Here's the next one. To bring division. That's Satan's ultimate. It says every kingdom, Matthew 12:25, every kingdom divided among itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Satan is the master of division. Now listen, how many have been in church for the last, say, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years? I can't believe the division that goes on in the church. It's so destructive. And listen, I've been in churches that had a church split almost every year. And it was absolutely over absolutely nothing. But yet again, they were unhappy. You know how hard it would be for Pastor Jeff to satisfy everyone in every area in this church? Well, you've already learned it can't be done. And it can often be discouraging to a pastor. But listen, in the very beginning of my ministry, it kind of discouraged me. And I thought, well, now wait a minute. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm preaching the word. A lot of people don't want to hear the real word. They just want bird seed, something to make them feel good. Boy, it's good to preach a message. It'll put you under conviction. Amen? People say, I just feel so uncomfortable coming to Bethel. Well, why? Because it seems like the pastor's preaching at me every Sunday. Well, maybe you need it. Amen? Sometimes we need it. But you can't satisfy everyone. I mean, everyone that's here has a different type of music that you like. I like all the old stuff. It's what one says. I like the more contemporary, or I like this and that and whatever. There's no way in the world. Now, let me tell you this. Pastor Jeff gives the best variety of any music I have ever heard in any church. Because he'll touch you on the old, he'll touch you on the new. Amen? And I just wish God had given me the talent to play like he has. I did buy a guitar, but I don't know how to play yet. Someone said, oh, you're too old now. Maybe I am. Oh, man. Listen, Satan wants to bring division. You can't make everyone happy. I want you to do it this way. Listen, here's the thing. When God calls a pastor and puts him in the church, that pastor is the leader of that church, the spiritual leader. God doesn't come to you and say, Brother David, I want you to go tell Pastor Jeff to preach this message. No. If that be the case, then every week someone's going to have to tell him what he ought to be preaching. No, God tells him. And he's responsible to preach what God lays on his heart, regardless of how you receive it. When we preach a message, whether it's Pastor Jeff, Pastor Keith, or myself, when we preach a message, we have done what God's called us to do. How you receive it is going to be up to you. But I know people, they get all backwards on things like that. You know, years ago, now I've got detailed notes out in the vestibule that you can pick up and we'll give you things that I'm not going to say here today. But I picked up a motto. Listen, we went through some church splits back because people are just unhappy. Well, I'm going to go somewhere else. And I just let them go. I said, okay, well, that's fine. If that God told you to, then that's okay with me. And it ought to be, you know. But if they're leaving mad and whatever, that, you know, you don't want that. But you just tell them that you love them. And I remember seeing some of them in the grocery store. When they saw me, they'd take their carts and go down a different aisle. And I'd hide there at the end of the other aisle. As soon as they made the corner, I was there to say, hey, how you doing? It's good. Here's the motto that God gave me years ago. We're going to love each other even if it kills us. Amen. What a way to die, loving someone. That's our motto today. We're going to love each other even if it kills us. We're going to the Bible says love those that despitefully use you and persecute you. We're going to love each other. Amen. That's our responsibility. We're not going to allow division to come. But now, listen to this. I'm going to close with in just a minute. Here's how to combat the attacks of the devil. And one of them I've already touched on, staying prepared. They just seem to work in there at that time. But you've got to identify the enemy. Do you know who your real enemy is? It's the devil. My wife, whenever she gets on to me because I've said something wrong and she says, repent. Has your wife ever said that to you? Repent. You know, how many's ever had kind of a little tiff with your spouse? You're the lyingest bunch I've ever seen in my life. You just look up and grin real big like, I never happened to me. But you know, men are different than women in many respects, the way we think and whatever. So you have a little tiff, and then what do? I mean, you just let kind of like time take care of it. Well, let me tell you, it doesn't. And I'm thinking, you know, it's been a couple of days and whatever, and I've kind of warmed up to Margaret now and whatever. So we start talking and all this, and then I'll make a statement of some kind and of something that I want us to do together, and she'll say, repent. Well, repent. And listen, man, don't ever say this. Don't ever ask this. Well, what did I do wrong? Listen, they got a memory that goes back years. They'll tell you what you did wrong 20 years ago. No, don't do that. Just repent. I learned that. I just said, listen, I know I was wrong, and I repent. Now we can make up. Amen. You got to learn how. Know who your enemy. Your wife is not your enemy. Satan is your enemy. And you can't fight the battle effectively if you think it's someone else. I mean, we go more on symptoms We often fight the symptom rather than the cause. Well, Satan's behind it all. You stop and think about it. Lying, stealing, killing, drug addiction is not your enemy. Satan is. Those are things that are real in this world, but Satan is your enemy. Identify him. If he gets in your children, identify the enemy. Amen? Then go cast him out. Hey, I can see you're really excited about that too. I would have loved to have taken some of you with me to cast out some demons on some of the cases that I had. Oh, you'd really enjoyed it. The associate pastor I had at that time, when we were in a home and I was doing that, he looked around and he was ready to make a door where there was no door is what he said. But God is all powerful, folks. You don't have to be afraid of your enemy, who is the devil. So you got to stay prepared. John 10:10, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give you life. And I like the word, and more abundantly. It's the abundant life. That's a life that I want to live. Stay prepared. Here's the last couple of things that I'll share with you, and then I'll close. Whenever Satan comes at you, when do you deal with the problem that he's bringing to you? Do you wait a day or two or 3 days? No, you deal with it immediately. Amen? You don't wait. The most critical moment of a decision is when Satan initially attacks you. So don't ignore the attack of the enemy like it's going to go away. No, it's not going to go away. I mean, the old saying, I don't know if it was ever true, but an ostrich would go out and bury its head in the sand. As long as he couldn't see what was happening around him, to him it wasn't happening. Well, that's not true. Amen. The whole world can be falling apart, and your life as well. Well, you got your head in the sand. It's time to get your head out of the sand and understand that the enemy is persistent, and the best line of defense is to deal with it immediately. A temptation, when do you deal with it? If you don't deal with it immediately, you'll do it. Amen? I'm talking to all the teenagers here. If you don't deal with it immediately, Satan will keep pounding. He's persistent. Here's the last thing. You've got to depend on God and His Word to help you. You're not qualified to do it all by yourself. You can't do it. Here's what John 8, verses 31 and 32. These are really precious to me. It says, "Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on Him, if you continue," now listen, "if you continue in My Word, then you are My disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? Will make you free." Well, what is the truth? Dear Abby's not the truth. I don't know if she's in the paper anymore, but she may be. Your newspaper's not the truth. This is the truth right here, the Word of God. And once you get this truth in you, the devil, listen to me, the devil's no match for you. I've learned the closer you get to God, the more you trust God in every situation. Now listen, just because you're a born-again Christian doesn't mean that you're never going to be tempted. It doesn't mean that you're never going to go through trials and tribulation. No, I mean, the devil's mad. He's going to do everything within his power to come against you. But the closer you get to God, you'll just turn to the Father. Listen, Jesus is in heaven doing what? He's making intercession for us. Amen? And what you can't handle, God can. So we give it to God. And every day we're going to walk in victory. Can I have a great big amen? Are we going to walk in victory? Come on, stand with me if you would.